to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's Articles of News for the week of the 13th of February, recorded on the 15th of February.
Happy Valentine's Day.
It's me, Richie T, and I'm joined with Brother Kyle. Hey, you know what? There's a number episode coming out this weekend.
That's what I heard.
224. The folks from Tim Timmerman, Hope of America.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
It's a movie.
Listen.
It's a movie.
Oh.
It's two guys. One of the guys is about the happiest guy I've ever met. Hands down, like, you know, like when you feel crappy and you're like, who can I call that will make me feel good? That guy.
Mm-hmm. The opposite of me?
Yes. Like when I'm like, man, I feel too good. There's got to be something that that I'm missing, right? Like I can't be nearly as a, hey, Kyle, how are you? What's up, piece of crap? Oh, there it is.
Now, people call me when they want to feel better because they feel down. They call me and they're, how are you doing, Kyle? What's going on? And I tell them and then they're like, oh, things are all right.
Yeah. You know what? Okay. I thought things were pretty rough, but... But they're not very rough. Thanks.
No.
Thanks, Brother Kyle. I got to ask you, you got sweetly sentimental on your Facebook, on your social media.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Because I do it once a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because it was my son's birthday. So I always say something nice.
But I feel like it was exceptionally nice. Do I need to pull it up?
Really?
Do I need? Yeah.
I didn't think
like
that
it was I'm going to pull it up because
okay.
I felt like it was... tremendously sweet from a cynical person like yourself.
Yes.
Hang on. Punching it in.
Yeah.
Getting it there. Doing the searching of the Facebooks. There he is. Look at that cute guy on a bicycle. All right. Yeah, see? 15 years ago today, it starts out.
Uh-huh.
He started with a giant strike against him, you.
Yep, that's sweet, isn't it?
He became my kid. He's overcome all odds. And give him credit for not being a runaway meth head by now.
So what is this sweet sentimental part?
I think it's sweet. Like it's as sweet as you get for sure.
Yeah.
It says not a year's gone by that he hasn't seen me in a hospital room or ambulance with tubes coming out of me. Today marks the anniversary of anything good about me. That was kind of the sweet part.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he looks nothing like you.
He does. That picture that you see of him right there, he's in a shadow, so you can't see him.
Well, but I mean, like, his build is completely different than you.
When he was younger, it was like me, but now he's probably an inch shorter than me now.
Okay.
So he'll pass me up.
But
soon.
Like a good breeze would knock you over. He's a fairly stocky, I guess is the way to say that, right?
Yep.
You afraid yet?
Nope.
You can still take him?
Yeah. I'm too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can take his mom, but he can't take me.
Like, so if he could sucker punch you, he's got you, right? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Like, stronger?
No.
Because there reaches a point, right? You know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That at some point where you go, yeah.
Yep.
I hope my kid doesn't hurt me.
Yeah.
I hope he chooses to continue to be nice to dad.
Yeah. His mom has expressed that fear to me before. He's bigger than me. He can push me around. And you know.
But he's not. But that's not his temperament, is it?
No, he's 15.
Yeah, so like when he gets angry about stuff, right?
Yeah.
Angry teenager, teenage boys are just scary in and of themselves.
Yeah.
But not...
But not like, no. He's just a typical 15-year-old boy.
So what else is new? You guys went out of town. That looks like the beach, and that's not the Great Salt Lake.
No, we went to Huntington Beach. He wanted to go like to do something. For his birthday, he said, we haven't gone on a trip for a while, and we haven't been to Long Beach in a while. I said, yeah, it's been 13 months since we've been to Long Beach. So, yeah, let's go there instead of San Diego like we do twice a year. So we went, or one of the other places that we go.
You ungrateful?
Yeah. So he wanted to go there, and some specific things he wanted to do.
Like what?
He's kind of like me. He likes shoes. He likes shopping.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that you like shopping.
I love shoes.
Do you really?
I love shoes.
That's your thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
but, how many pairs of shoes do you have?
I counted the other day. I think I have 25.
That doesn't seem like it's a lot, but that doesn't seem like I was like when you say that one of your favorite things to do is buy shoes, I'm thinking
well,
like
then
50
I sell
or
100. Them again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or I wear them out and five of those are bike shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have three pairs of running shoes and three pairs of hiking shoes, trail shoes. I have a shoe for every occasion.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Sunday shoe.
Yeah.
It's my Tuesday shoe.
But his shoe thing is a 15-year-old boy shoe thing, so it's the kind of high-top basketball-type shoe.
Uh-huh.
They're very expensive right now.
Yes.
Classic Jordan Nike shoes and some by a singer who will remain nameless because I can't stand him.
I don't even know who it is.
Used shoes by Mr. West are like $1,200.
Really?
Yeah. So we went to these stupid stores in L.A. We went down to the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
And all that stuff, you know, all the touristy L.A. stuff.
Grauman's Chinese Theater?
Yeah, went by there. Went by a place, it's called the Institute of... I just forgot it. I put it on Facebook also.
Okay.
Oh, the Institute of Broken Relationships. Oh. And it's a museum. Do you see that one? It's a building, and it's a little...
like all the Hollywood relationships that have been broken
I
up?
I don't know, because we didn't go in.
Oh, my gosh.
Institute
That's
of Broken
awesome.
Relationships on the building, and it's like a museum.
That's awesome.
Awesome. So, yeah, I got a picture of that. But so all these stores are lined up, one after the other. You go in, not very wide, kind of deep, and they all sell... about 10 t-shirts, 10 hoodies, maybe a couple pairs of pants, and a two dozen pair of shoes. And they're all set out really nicely and wrapped in plastic and all outrageously expensive.
Hmm.
Just ridiculous.
How many pairs did you buy them?
None. We tried to buy one that wasn't so bad, but they didn't have a size. Yeah, they're sold out all over. I just So we got him a shirt somewhere and mostly just window shopped and looked at. We saw on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, we suddenly realized they were putting somebody's star on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Adam Levine. Is it Levine or Levine, the singer of a terrible rock band?
Yeah. Maroon 5?
Yes, that
Guitarist
one.
Is Mormon.
No, is he?
He was.
Oh, all right. No, doesn't count now.
Yeah.
Him and his cohort.
I think he's still technically
the country,
Mormon.
The country singer that does the voice with him.
Uh-huh.
I just forgot his name.
Yeah.
Not Tim McGraw or Luke Bryan. Blake Shelton was there with him.
Oh, really? So they were actually doing the ceremony.
They were there putting it on while we were there and giving a little talk.
Hey!
Now, there was another star that was getting just as much recognition at the time that we were there.
Uh-huh.
There was a line of people waiting to see it and get their picture with it, a picture of them flipping the bird to it.
Uh-huh.
Guess who has a star?
Donald Trump.
Yes,
yeah.
On the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Which then I went, these stars mean nothing.
Yeah.
Lucille Ball, Red Skelton, and Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, he was, you know.
He was what?
Apprentice.
It's a bad TV show. How do you get a star on that for
he's
that?
He's a billionaire.
Why don't we give one to Bret Michaels?
He was in movies.
He had two runs of Rock of Love. Let's give Bret Michaels a walk on the Hollywood.
He's got one, I'm sure.
No, does he?
I'm sure he does. He's a musician. It's not just actors.
I know. I'll have to look that up. But they got a...
Donald Trump, though. Actor. Are you forgetting?
He's not an actor.
Been in movies. Home Alone.
You've been in a movie. Yeah. Why don't you get a star?
That's what
there?
I'm saying. We should start a Utah.
A Utah? Yes, down here.
It's somewhere in downtown Salt Lake. And the deal will be it'll be some offshoot street that no one goes to. It's the Utah Walk of Fame. That's funny. Let's hang on to that.
Right now it's riddled with used needles and
oh, why did it have to be drugs?
You could be down there. Molly Mormon could be on it.
Yeah.
She's been in movies and stuff.
Well, listen, I get it.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you've ever been a lead, you're not allowed on it. It has to be just like subparts in different movies.
The other thing he wanted to do, and we did, we rallied Mulholland Drive in a Porsche with the top down.
Yeah.
Around Dead Man's Curve.
Yes.
No, really, just like, I'm like, what's the worst that could happen? I got insurance.
So you didn't drive out there, though.
Yeah, we...
You drove the Porsche out there?
No, then I borrowed one.
Oh, someone you knew that had a Porsche?
Yeah.
Really?
It called in a favor.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Was it worth it?
That was probably one of the funner parts, was cruising up Mulholland and almost hitting several people in a borrowed car. And then he thought it was cool because it was his birthday and shopping those places in our fancy a car that will fit in so we didn't look ridiculous.
Right.
We weren't in a Sentra driving around Hollywood.
Our compact Sentra.
Yeah, we weren't in a Hyundai.
What, Brother Kyle? I just hit 105,000 miles on my car. It's what I got myself for Valentine's yesterday.
Yeah?
Got myself some new spark plugs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Some transmission fluid, you know? Oh,
Wow, you went all out.
Happy Valentine's Day to this single guy. Doesn't have a loved one in his life.
Now, just real quick, I did not listen to the last episode you recorded with, because I don't listen to the show, because I don't have time.
Okay.
Sorry.
Insensitive. Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
Well, have a phone.
And I'm here half the time.
And you drive.
I know, and when I'm driving, I'm busy doing other stuff.
Well, doing what?
Stressing out. Making phone calls.
Let us be your place of solace. Anyway, what were you going to ask me?
So I know that on the headline of I just saw that, you know, huge announcement with Molly and Richie.
Yes.
Jenny
Her and
Richie.
I are getting married.
That's what I thought.
No. She's engaged to her man friend. Her man friend.
I thought she got divorced.
Yeah, she did, like a year or two ago. Like 2 years. Because she's been dating this guy almost a year.
Wow.
Maybe more than a year.
I feel really bad now.
Why?
It's been like 6 years for me.
Well, you need to get back on the horse.
Well, I don't have any place to put a horse. Yeah. And that's not going to help me get married unless I want to go to farmersonly.com.
Yeah. Farmersonly.com.
I wouldn't have to be lonely.
No, ever.
But what was yours then? You said everybody has...
But you're a nice gentleman. Why?
I know. I am nice. Yesterday,
I mean, you're in shape.
I substituted a group fitness class yesterday.
Uh-huh, you know, I loved that.
I taught aerobics.
On Valentine's night.
I wonder why she got me to sub tonight. Usually, you know, she doesn't get me. And I get there. And then it strikes me earlier that day. I'm like, nobody else could teach it.
Yeah. Everyone else had a significant other to be with.
And I told everybody in the class. I'm like, so you're the people all in bad relationships or without one.
Yeah.
And, you know, headed for divorce, whatever.
You joke, but that...
It was true.
But that's,
I saw
at least
it,
on some level...
It did not get a laugh at all.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are all in bad relationships.
Yep. They looked at me like, too soon.
Yeah.
Too close to home.
Yeah, we got to find you a nice girl. I mean, your son needs a mother.
I got...
Do you want to be married again?
Sure.
Yeah, really?
You bet. I will be married again.
Yeah?
Mark my words.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do it right?
Oh, pretty sure.
Yeah?
Will be. Yeah.
Do it right this time?
If I could take your lessons into it.
Take the lessons from the last time?
Yeah. Yeah, do it all over again.
I still vacillate. Most of the time I'm like, yeah, heck yeah. Sometimes I'm like, nope, I'm really good. I'm really good. But I think it's because it's so fresh. But yeah, there are a lot of times I'm just like, you know what? I don't know. Like, it's too much of a dice roll, right? Like getting feelings hurt or like, you know, you have an expectation and that other person is like, yeah, totally. We're good. But... Like, I think everyone says that, right? When they get married.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, no one ever is like, hey, I'm going to change in about 3 years and then hate you. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yet, how many times does that happen? How many times do those relationships fail? It's just interesting.
A lot, unfortunately.
The interesting thing for me recently has been a lot of friends of mine, especially from high school, right? Their kids are like, oh, my kid is turning 12, which is great, right? That's not the issue. But it's a thing where it's like, man, you know, if I have a 12-year-old that's mine, like, that's a long time from now.
Yeah.
That sounds exhausting.
Well, let's see. How old are you now?
Like, I'm 36.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm being a 50-year-old dad of a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
That sounds exhausting.
A lot of my friends have kids about to get married. Maybe pregnant accidentally.
Yeah.
But, you know, back from their mission, stuff like this, and married, you know, grandkids. I have friends of mine that I graduated with that are grandparents.
Right. But you got a 15-year-old and it's your kid. You know what I'm saying? So like that to me, it's like, well, yeah, but you sort of fit in there.
I'm still safe. I was late, a late child giver, but
still within a window where it's not.
Yeah. Where I can still, you know, I'm in my 40s and I can still take him.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
And by the time I'm 50, he'll be, you know, gone, living the dream.
Sounds perfect, doesn't it?
All right, get this.
What?
Driving back, that's bringing me down.
Yeah.
So I jotted this down.
Was that bringing you down?
Weeks ago, yeah.
Well, because I think about it, like, so with my kid, right? My kid's not my kid, for people that are listening, but he's 19 in like 3 weeks.
Wow. Well, I saw the picture you put with him. Yeah.
He's grown up now. He and his girlfriend, right? It's just, you know, they're living together. They're making a life for themselves. They're going to school. They're really supportive for one another. You know, it's not everything, right? Like, he's living with his girlfriend. It's not everything that I would have liked, but I'm just like, you know what? You know, you don't get to pick everything. And are you happy? And I feel like he's in a tremendously better place than he was, right? So, you know, maybe if I had my druthers, it'd be like, you know, there's some other things that I would pick for him. But I'm by no means like, hey, you know what? You really should
do these other things. You're not going to push him away.
Right, exactly, right? I embrace who he is and where he's at. But it isn't the same as me having, you know, a kid from, like, conception to utero to birth to, you know, sleepless vomity nights to first day of school. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It isn't the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's bringing you down on the way home?
But all this was kind of bringing me down a little bit.
Oh.
But no, this several weeks ago, I was driving home from down south. I was down training somewhere, riding my bike.
Uh-huh.
And it was just on the radio. It was a sports cast. And reading scores from teams.
Uh-huh.
I'd never heard of this team. The Manti Templars.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that.
Yeah.
And it just brought a smile to my face.
Yeah, it's the high school in Manti, the Templars.
Yeah.
It's their mascot.
Does he
wear... It's a knight. A Templar is a knight. Oh, it's not just like a temple worker.
That's what I thought.
Although that is the one Templars. Heck of a mascot costume.
I know. I just imagine wearing a building, a big foam building, yeah. You know, with big
with
googly
two,
eyes
two
on it.
Two spires on either side. Yeah. Ooh, it's the Templars. That's funny.
Jumping through a hoop of fire. Yeah. Templars.
Anything else new with you? Anything else exciting?
I feel bad. I got in an argument with somebody.
A loved one?
No.
A hated one?
A friend of a friend.
Okay.
Who was... And what made me sad about this is a very religious person who claims I'm doing the air quotes with my fingers right now
mm-hmm.
and, you know, active in their church and that. They own a business which started giving something to somebody which was extremely unhealthy for somebody going through cancer treatment, which
okay.
is like the last thing you would want.
Right.
And are pumping them full of something.
Okay.
Soda. And so I commented on this. Wow, I can't believe you're doing this. I don't think this is a good idea for somebody in that situation.
Right.
That doesn't sound too harsh, but it was how I felt. She sent a message to me with some pretty foul language. It's stuff you couldn't say on the radio or TV.
Really?
Yeah, words with F.
Yeah.
And telling me to do things to her sexually.
Well.
Yeah. From this person who I know is extremely strict LDS. And because I and said, you know, you bugger off and mind your own beeswax and
wow.
and we'll do what we want and to me.
Wow.
And pass this message along to Kyle, would you?
Jeez.
From a friend of ours.
Did you respond?
No.
Good.
I started to and I said.
I know where this ends and I know what it's worth.
I'm going to let it drop because there's somebody else in the middle that I didn't want to get. You know, it was a good friend of a friend's.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to hurt their relationship.
Mm.
So be a better person if, you know, if you are LDS and claim to be, kind of represent yourself a little bit better. I don't expect you to be perfect.
Right.
You know, everybody has their thing, live with their girlfriend or whatever. Honestly, I'm you know, fine with people living their life, but don't. It was a holier than thou situation.
Yeah.
Somebody that the next day I know was at church teaching a lesson.
You know, online respect.
I would have liked to gone into Relief Society in that ward in Bountiful and sat down, but I know that they would have noticed a man. And
yeah.
So they would have
why is there a man in Relief? Well, I mean, but maybe he's.
Just love to sit there and listen and look.
Yeah.
My eyes wide open and. Mm.
Huh. I'd like to read the following message. Can I get a volunteer reader? And then you read the message from your email. Hilarious. Anything else?
Nope. That's a.
I'm trying to think if there's anything exciting for me. I got a guy coming to my house tonight. we're doing the final map out and starting construction on the rebuild of my kitchen.
Ooh, yeah. The kitchen's one of the favorite parts.
Yeah. Cabinets, sexy, sexy cabinets. Figured out finally where to put my fridge, where to put my my range, my, you know, my gas stove.
That's tough.
Figure out where to do it because you got to line it all out. It's not a very big kitchen.
Yeah.
Got to figure out how to do it. So got that guy. He's coming later today and just pretty excited about it. So it should be fun.
Wow.
Putting in some drywall. My house is the only thing that's going on for me right now. Still doing Indiana Bones and seeing several people that listen to the Cultural Hall come by to the Desert Star and see me there. It goes until the 18th of March. You can go to DesertStarPlayhouse.com if you want to check that out. It's a lot of fun. The Anxious White Brittany is in that show as well some of the time, so you can come by and check her out. But it, you know, it's been a lot of fun being the only Indiana Bones, being single cast and having to be there for every show. Has been a tremendous amount of work. I've never done that before in the entire time I've acted.
They got a counterpart for you.
I told them not to. I told them not to.
What if you got sick the other day?
Right.
And made it through it?
Kind of.
Kudos. But, I mean, what if something happens?
They just sort of hope that something doesn't happen.
Gosh.
And that theater is such that, you know, if something really happened, right, like I got in a car accident or something like that, you know, it's a comedic enough of a theater that someone could come in with a script in hand, like I did during the Christmas show, and be like, listen, I don't know this, I'm going to do my best, and people would be supportive enough. They wouldn't be like, and they didn't even have an understudy. They wouldn't do that way. So, yeah, everything is my house. Pictures, if you search the hashtag TheHomesteadman, STEADMAN. People can kind of follow along with that. And some of those we post on.
It pops up all the time, your video to me.
Uh-huh.
Like I'll be in the middle of something important, all of a sudden a thing on, I don't know why the videos always pop up. Oh, it's you and Rob all the time.
Yeah.
And I'll go to it and it's Rob. Oh, I'm here with 40 kids dancing. And I'm like, I'm trying to do
DJ Rob.
And you, it's tearing it. And you have torn the house apart. I mean, it's.
Yeah. It is
bones.
Barely even a house at this point. Someone's like, would you sell it right? Or, you know, are you done with it? And I'm like, if I could be, I would probably be done with it right now. But I'd lose my shirt if I tried to sell out of it right now. And, you know, so now it's the rebuild. Now it's the make it look good. We'll see.
Pretty fun.
I'm spending all afternoon
there. I can't wait to move in there.
We'll put you in the back room. You need a room for your kid or just you?
Both. I need a room for each of us.
Okay. It'll cost you.
Mm.
Cost.
How about I grow stuff in your greenhouse for you?
Okay.
Vegetables.
Yeah. Vegetables. That's how the Spanish say it.
No, it's not.
You don't know.
It's vegetables.
Are you Spanish?
No.
So technically you don't know.
I was in Southern California last week, which
that's
is mostly
basically
Spanish.
Spain.
Spain.
Let's take a break for a second, and coming back in the second half, we'll do actual articles of news.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails with feedback from customers. Here's one. Dear Dan, I just had the best experience ever. I bought a computer from Shane at your State Street store. I asked several what I thought were really stupid questions. Shane was super courteous and made me feel comfortable through the whole process. People need to understand how important it is to support a local company, especially when your experience is so good. PC Laptops really does love me. Signed, Satisfied. I love hearing feedback like that. It really just gives me the chills. It's the whole reason why I got into the computer business in the first place. You can get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for as low as $799, and it comes with a lifetime warranty. That means if anything goes wrong, we're going to take care of you. Just check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we really do love you!
Utah's newest upscale catering company is now accepting bookings for the upcoming holiday and wedding season. Slick Rock Catering masterfully combines exquisite food, beautiful presentation, high-level service, and careful attention to create a special occasion that will be remembered. From award-winning food, event planning, decorating, to providing highly trained servers, Slick Rock Catering will help you make your next special event a huge success. Contact them at slickrockcatering.com.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. One in five children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
All right, I'm going to read an email first. This has been in my inbox since November.
Ooh.
Sorry. You can always email us, contact@theculturalhall.com, and I try and get back to people a little bit better. But you know, November was hard. The holidays, in fact, most of them were pretty hard as far as episodes go. We had a hard time getting episodes put out, published for people to be able to listen to. If you don't subscribe yet, you can. You can do that at Stitcher, or you can find it on iTunes. You can also find it in the Google Play Store. If you have any problems with that, always you can contact us, contact@theculturalhall.com. But this is a pretty interesting email that I hopefully we can get the context of just by reading it. It's from Kevin. You know Kevin. Kevin emails the show.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you want to hear less of Kevin, email us and we'll read more of whoever you are. But here's an email from Kevin. Hey, everybody. I thought I would email you in response to an Articles of News episode that you did a while back where you talked about Elder Christofferson donating money to a candidate and how it made you feel upset.
I remember that.
I do not get upset on trivial matters like this, says Kevin. Does it upset you that former President Ezra Taft Benson was the Secretary of Agriculture while he was an apostle of the church? Well, I wasn't alive, so I don't know. But maybe. Maybe it would. That seems like a mixing of... I don't think they would do it nowadays, certainly.
No, and I don't remember it then.
Yeah, no, it was, but I don't think that he was an apostle of the church, and I'd have to look into this a little bit, but I don't think that he was actually serving as an apostle while he was Secretary of Agriculture. But that being said, it's an amazing opportunity for him, so, I mean, the fact that that was able to happen, if it did, in fact, no, I don't know that it upsets me necessarily. It says, what if something like that were to be happening in the future? Would you be irked off and lose your faith over it? Like Kevin's emails. I think I stated on an email before that I wish the Quorum of the 12 would discuss political issues during General Conference. Nope.
No.
I added the nope. He says, I know they won't because of the 501c3, but it sure would be nice if an apostle would buck the system just once, writes Kevin. If you go back in church history, some of the brethren did discuss politics during General Conference. I think it's great if people from the Quorum of the 12 donate to political campaigns, as long as they say it is their personal political belief. And that's the problem, is that you can't, for a lot of people, they don't feel like they can separate it, or they feel like once you become a position in the church, like a 12 apostle, one of the 12 apostles, that you cannot separate the person from the faith. Says, I also want to bring up a story that Janae and I discussed. Her kid kissed someone at school on the lips. Do you remember this?
No.
Did you listen to this story? Says,
ick.
Yeah. And her Gross. Kid's like kindergarten, I think.
Yeah.
Says, I have an older brother. This meant that when I was in first grade, my brother was in fifth grade, and he was constantly talking about kissing girls. Naturally, I wanted to be like my older brother, so what did I do?
Kissed his older brother.
Yeah. During the spring of my first grade year, I kissed a girl on the palm of her hand. In second grade, I kissed a girl on the palm, on the back, and on the leg. I could never get myself to kiss a girl on the lips back then. But I do remember being told in second grade by my teacher and the aide that I had in school to not kiss that girl again. It was funny to look back on it. My brother even told me to tell the principal that I kissed a girl on the palm of her hand during my first grade year. He just laughed it off and said, "See you later." I do wish Janae Immanite good luck in talking to her kid about kissing a girl on the lips at the age that he is. I don't know how I would handle that one as a parent. And I don't know that we ever got follow-up on that. So, Janae Immanite, as you are undoubtedly listening to this, because I know you subscribe via iTunes through your phone, then you don't even have to worry about it, you know, because she has a phone, like how you have a phone, Brother Kyle, and yet you use it as an excuse not to listen to it. Whatever, it's
my
fine.
My phone does, like, two things is all I know how
That's
to do.
That's not true.
I know it does a lot, but I don't know how to do them.
You have an iPhone.
I don't have an iPhone.
What do you have?
No, it's a phone.
No, it's a phone. Let me see it. Yeah, you could get the podcast on your phone.
I can do a lot of things with this one, but I don't know how.
Do you need someone to teach you?
Yes.
I'll get you a person. If you'll subscribe and listen to it every week, I will get you a person.
I will do it, but I get frustrated after a minute and go, oh, I'm not going to do that ever
again.
And
he's like, "Dad, you old curmudgeon." Anyway, yeah, so we should follow up with that. That, now I can delete that email. Done. There you go, Kevin.
I'll ask Janae Immanite what happened with that.
Okay.
I was going to check in with her because she hasn't been well. And
no, she was on an episode, not last week, but the week before.
Yeah.
We kind of check in and hear from her.
Yeah.
You know, and people will say, and I would agree with them, it's frustrating, though, because even though I know she feels terrible, she looks fantastic, right? I feel even slightly under the weather, and people are like, "Are you dying?"
Like today, how do you feel today?
Terrible.
Look awful.
No, I'm exhausted, and yeah, I look it.
You look.
I look every bit of exhausted today. I looked in the mirror this morning. I'm not kidding. I looked in the mirror this morning, not at my house because I didn't have time. I looked in the mirror at my work and went, "I guess I'm going with that." I said that out loud. I guess I'm going with that today. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, me.
Some of us can't just look. And she sounds, you know, great. And I've told you, my son just thinks she's the happiest person he's ever met.
Yeah.
But she feels awful.
Right.
I've got one here.
You've got some stories?
Let me
do this one real quick. It's nice and short. Elder Rulon G. Craven, Secretary to Apostles and LDS General Authority, he passed away. After he decided to stop the blood transfusions that eased the symptoms of leukemia, he's a nonagenarian. Does that mean 9 years? Yeah, or 90 years, right? Nonagenarian, because octogenarian is
80. I know he's
80.
In his 90s.
Yeah, so nonagenarian, yeah. Emeritus General Authority 70 of the LDS Church made another difficult call. He informed a priest leader in his congregation that he was going out one last time to visit widows, but that would be the last time that he would fulfill his assignment as a home teacher. And Elder Craven, known for his belief in positive thinking and his personal warmth, entered hospice care a week later and then died just this past Monday. He was 13 years as secretary to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. He has a wife, 6 children, 22 grandchildren, and 44 great-grandchildren. And that's it. He's passed away, so... But I mean, 92, and he's going home teaching 3 weeks before he passes away, and it's a conscious choice. I mean, that's a way to go, right? I did it. I'm doing it. I'm done.
Yep,
we're done now.
I can call the Elder's Quorum president and tell him done.
I got my home teaching done. I thought that was kind of a charming part of that story. Okay, now you have a news thing.
This one not so charming. Man arrested for theft at LDS La Kipa office.
Okay,
I'm in
Tonga, right?
It's in Tonga. I'm going to mispronounce some of this. In Nuku'alofa, a man from Kolofua'a has been arrested and charged for allegedly stealing. Now, the dollar sign is in front of this amount, 2,322, but then it says pa'anga.
Okay.
So 2,322 pa'anga it's about 16 U.S. dollars.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
No.
I'm just guessing. 2,322 something worth of office goods from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at La Kepa. The incident is reported to have taken place at around 6 a.m. on Tuesday, February 7th, a week ago, when he is allegedly to have broken into the church office and stolen mostly office furniture and materials, including a desktop computer and chairs.
Yeah.
So it wasn't cash, it was stuff.
Yeah, so he stole a computer and then like a chair, and that's a couple grand, right?
Yeah, evidently.
And then a tithing slip so he could pay back the 10% of his gain. It's like, well, I just gained $2,300. I guess I owe $230.
Well, Tonga police said some of the goods were recovered when they arrested the accused at La Kipa. So they got some of it, but they got the desktop back and the bishop's chair, the bishop's candy dish, they got back.
Which, am I right? As far as if you're a bishop, you have to have candy like
you
that?
You should. I think
no,
you should.
No, like, it's not written anywhere, but you are the awkward anomaly if you are a bishop without a candy dish.
Yeah. And when someone comes in, go ahead, take the first piece just so they're welcome and they'll want to take some.
Mm-hmm. But you really have to. I haven't been to my new bishop's office, but I don't know that he has a candy dish.
Well, do you go to your brother's ward where you live, or do you go where your
house
is?
I live at my dad's house still.
Oh, your dad. Oh.
I live at my dad's house with minimal stuff. All of my things are at my brother's house, and then I own a house. I go to church where my house is.
Oh, okay. So your new ward where you live.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's nice. I love it. It's so great. It's so diverse. Yeah. Old and young and all sorts of different colors, and it's awesome. I love it. And socioeconomic stuff, you know, veterans and people renting and newlyweds and wealthy people who, you know, remodeled homes, and it's just, it's awesome. I love every bit of it.
Hmm.
I don't have a calling. They asked me the other day, hey, are you going to move your records into the ward? And I said, yeah, that's why I filled out the form to move my records into the ward 5 weeks ago. And they said, oh, we must have lost that. Would you mind doing it again? I appreciate your honesty. Thank you.
My records were sent over 2 months ago because I moved a couple months ago, 3 months ago. Have not heard word one from, because I go to a different ward somewhere else.
Right.
That I've got, that is a long story. But anyway, have not heard from anybody. Nobody's come
They'll
by.
They'll show up at your house.
2 months. Come on, people.
They'll show up.
Jeez, Elders Quorum.
Where are you guys? I would love to be the ward clerk. I wouldn't love to be the ward clerk in this ward, because this ward, for being Salt Lake City, it is massive boundaries-wise. And I think that it's like 30% active. There's probably like 700 families in our ward and only 200 families that attend. Like,
oh, wow.
It is. It's pretty insane. I wouldn't want to be a ward clerk for that ward because people are in and out and in and out. A lot of apartments. Mm-hmm. But I would love to be a ward clerk of a ward, right? Just a little neighborhood, little sleepy neighborhood.
Yeah.
Hi, we got your records this morning. I'm here tonight. How are you?
Yeah.
Who are you? I'd love to be that guy. You know the Hymas family?
Yes.
They're about to more than triple in size thanks to the opportunity that this couple has come through adoption. A young couple unable to have children is about to undergo a huge change as they adopt five children, and then maybe two more within the next few weeks.
And maybe two more? I didn't see that part.
Deniza and Tim Hymas of Rexburg have waited 8 years to have a baby, and their dream is finally coming true. The plan was always to have a family, but a year into our marriage, I miscarried, Deniza Hymas says. The doctors told me I have PCOS, which is polycystic ovary syndrome, and obviously not going to be able to have kids, so it was kind of a letdown. The Hymases considered undergoing fertility treatments, but realized it would cost tens of thousands of dollars, and now they'll be adopting five kids and likely two more. And you know what? Look at those kids.
Good for them.
That is a young couple.
Oh my gosh, are they 16?
They are not. I mean,
they look, seriously, 19, 18.
Well, you know, they're
high school.
They got to... Well, you got to figure he's probably, so Rexburg, so they either are attending or attended BYU Idaho, right? Because Mormon folks, they're up there, married. They tried for a year to have a kid, so you got to give them some age there. But no, they're not the other side of 25.
Yeah, well, it said they had waited for 8 years.
Oh, maybe that's, yeah.
Been trying for
let's
8 years?
Let's put some math together here.
Did they start when they were 11?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe, and I'm not judging them. They've waited 8 years to have a baby. So let's say best Mormon scenario, she was 18 when she got married, so she's got to be 26, so she doesn't look like it. You can see the picture at theculturalhall.com. But congratulations. That is an instant family.
Does it say if the five, are they siblings? Is it like a whole...
It doesn't in this story. I needed to print out the other one, and I didn't.
Crazy.
Yeah, I am crazy. I should have printed out the whole thing.
I know.
I want to go here. Have you seen this story? CBS picked up this story. This is national news. Janessa James is the bridesmaid of the year, or at least she should be if there were such an award. The BYU senior has been in 12 weddings and earned that title thanks to her hometown friend and bride, Amy Lewis.
Wait, she's been in 12 weddings?
Yeah.
Married 12 times?
No. Been like the bridesmaid or the maid of honor.
Oh, so she's the... That girl.
Before Amy Lewis's Washington, D.C. wedding to her now husband, Riley, the bridal party trekked to Sundance, Utah to take a few pre-wedding photos. You know, the engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Lewis really wanted windswept photos that looked, quote, super romantic. James recalled to ABC News, so the photographer told me that I had to throw up her train in the air as high as possible and as quick as I could get out of the shot. So you know what I'm saying. That's like the back part of the dress if you don't know what a train is. And so the assistant, you know, photographer, right, is this her bridesmaid who is essentially going to take the back end of the dress, throw it in the air, and then run out of the way. The photographer then would Photoshop her out of the shot. James, who's 21 and originally from Vienna, Virginia, was committed, and the result is this hilarious photo, and I'm going to ask Anna to put it on our Instagram. I'm going to ask Madison to share it on our Twitter so people can see it. It is this photo of the dress kind of being in the air and the bridesmaids looking like she's just falling.
Oh,
right.
Yes,
so it's this great, it's this really, really great picture of the bride and groom. It's kind of in the hills of Sundance. So you get a little bit of the green and then you get kind of the colorless sort of wheat looking plants in the foreground. Right. So it's gorgeous. But it looks like she's just falling all over the place. The socioeconomics major shared the photo on Reddit with a funny caption that many single ladies can relate to. This is how I'm currently feeling about wedding and engagement season coming up, she wrote as a caption on the February 3rd post. Yes, this is an actual photo of me, she says in parentheses, extremely single, helping my best friend with her bridals. The photographer asked me to throw her train up and then dive out of the shot, and so I did it, very theatrically. The student admitted that the December 2015 photo shoot did leave her with some, quote, bruises. James told ABC News that she loves what she loved most about being a bridesmaid, and that is, I've gotten kind of a reputation for being the wedding person to go to. I'm a take-charge person. I get things done. No matter how difficult or frustrating it was for you, you know it's worth it. And although she's single, she's not staying at home crying about it. Yeah, right. In fact, she's dating, she says, but no one's serious yet. Seeing all my friends get married, it's taught me that the right guy really is out there, James said. So
I don't know that she's really getting things done if she's still single. All her friends are married.
Maybe she's bossy. Read bossy.
Yeah.
Right? She's very assertive.
Yeah.
Bossy pants.
Yeah. I wonder how many times she's been dumped in the last 6 months.
Stop it. Stop it. This real quick because I thought it was interesting. You know, the United States Air Force Academy.
Yeah.
Over there in the Colorado. Their in-house sports medicine team at Air Force. All LDS.
Really?
Yep.
All of them?
The sports docs at the U.S. Air Force Academy are highly appreciated pros dedicated to getting them back on the field. That is the athletes. For Mormon cadets, the Academy's sports medicine physicians are also fellow Latter-day Saints. Each of the doctor on the Academy's sports medicine team is a member of the church and a returned missionary. And that's basically what this story is it's just interesting to note. They've served their country, they've served missions, they're part of the Air Force Academy, and all the docs over there, Mormon.
Where's that bridesmaid from the last one?
Maybe I don't know if they're all married, though. Let's see here. Is they looking for a woman that takes charge?
Nope.
Not there.
All good.
What did you have?
There was a fire at a church building. Now, I couldn't tell where the city of Parker is. Is it Idaho? Because I know there's a Parker, Colorado.
Okay. But I'm not sure that I know.
It just says Parker. LDS Church building catches fire. The South Fremont Fire District responded to a fire at the LDS Church Tuesday at 7:23 p.m. There were no injuries and no damage to the church's roof. Now, the reason they mentioned the roof is because it caught fire from some heat tape that they put on the roof along the edge. They like put a zigzaggy so that it melts into your gutter and it doesn't freeze on your gutter ice.
Called heat tape?
Heat tape.
Okay.
Now, the reason this also caught my eye is that my son, where he lives, very close to me, the home across the street, kitty corner from them, burned down a couple weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the heat tape got on fire.
So, moral of the story, don't put heat tape.
Yeah, don't use heat tape anymore, I'm thinking after seeing this. Now, at the time that the fire happened, there were people in the church. I'm not going to read it because I know the story now that I read it. There are some people, you know, the bishops in there going over there, the ward clerks in there counting the sacrament cups and stuff.
And because that's what ward clerks do.
They see it catch fire. So they run out. They call 911, but they're putting it out. And while it's on the way, they call 911 again, say, we got it out. Don't worry about it. But the fire still keeps coming, shows up, and just make sure. Goes over everything, and there wasn't damage. They made sure the fire was out, and so everything was okay. But they took the heat tape off and said, "No more heat tape. Jumping on the bed. No more of this." So, really, don't use heat tape anymore. That's two fires I know about this year.
Thank you for not making the reference to the roof. The roof is on fire.
I almost did.
Did you?
Yes, I was headed there almost, but for some reason I got into the monkeys.
Sort of a side jaunt, and it's a story that I remember from my mission. You know, the Kirtland Temple, people that were around the Kirtland Temple at the time that it was being dedicated, it was dedicated in a long sort of service, talk about how, I think it was at night, either the night before or maybe during the service. This is where I wish I had actual, I'll have to find it, but talks about that people in the area thought that it was on fire, that the building was on fire, that the roof was
really
on fire because of like the heavenly manifestation of the lightness and the brightness on the building. Cool, right?
Yeah.
Kind of fun. I wish I had more fact about that instead of just like a kind of story that maybe happened one of the nights.
It might have happened. You heard something about it.
Let's see. Where do I want to go? There's a great article at theculturalhall.com that you can find talking about Jabari Parker. You know who that is, yeah?
Yeah. Basketball player,
yep.
Right?
Went to Duke for a year. He's from Chicago. His dad was a basketball player. Mormon. You know, he did the full thing in high school, did the, you know, early morning seminary. And it talks about his experience. He's black. He's African-American. Talks about his experience about coming to grips with the history of the church and its treatment of black people, right? The ban on the priesthood until 1978.
Yeah.
So I'll read a little bit of this. You can find the whole article at theculturalhall.com. Parker's faith had long been a comfort and a cocoon, but now, it says, he started to question things. He learned about the LDS Church's history. Black men were long barred from entering the priesthood until the church reversed its stance in 1978. As a famous black man with a Tongan mother and an African-American father, Parker represented something of a rarity within the church. He never learned about this aspect of LDS history until arriving at Duke, and he struggled to reconcile the rhetoric of former church leaders with the kindness that he'd experienced as a child. Right, so he never had to deal with it, right? He was born after the ban was lifted. Living in Chicago, didn't have any sort of experiences where it's like, oh, you're black and Mormon, what? Right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until he got to college. He says, my church in Hyde Park is a unique place. Now, Hyde Park, for people who don't know, is the same neighborhood where President Barack Obama was from. It's South Side, a fairly affluent neighborhood, but certainly very liberal. He says there's a lot of black people, a lot of Asian people, a lot of really liberal white people, where I never saw any discrimination. I never once felt anything like that. I grew up being in young men's groups, and a lot of us kids were black, and a lot of the counselors were white. They were never frowned on our culture, nor we on theirs. They embraced it. He paused for a moment. He says, the way I view it, those policies and views, they didn't really represent God or the church. They represented those individual people who were in leadership, and people are always going to be flawed. As he reaffirmed his faith, Parker became intoxicated by the process of asking big questions and engaging with new ideas. So you can find that article at theculturalhall.com.
Wow, smart.
Right? Like, it was able to, I love hearing, you know, so much nowadays we hear stories about people where it's like, I had a faith crisis or I couldn't find an answer. And then, you know, we skip ahead to the end of the story where we know that they, you know, that they left the church and that's it. It's over, right? But I love the stories where it's like, yeah, I had some questions on things. I studied some things. And now I feel even that much better.
Yeah.
Or I'm that much stronger because of the experience that I went through. What do you have?
Yes. I don't know if anybody else. I saw this story the other day about a single mom. I don't know where dad is, but it's if I don't know if this is in other places, but I know it's here in Utah because I've been to it a few times. Mm-hmm. It's called Dads and Donuts.
Yeah.
And so they pick a day where in the elementary, your dad comes to school with you in the morning.
Right.
And you get a donut if you're there on time. If not, they usually run out because they don't plan in advance very well for these things. So that a young woman, Whitney Cottrell, a single mother living in Utah, served her son in an unusual way. And now the story originally posted on Facebook is going viral. Her son came home and she said, you know, it's Dad's and Donuts Day. And she said, how about we get Grandpa to go with you? And he said,
Grandpa's my grandpa. He's not
nice,
my dad.
But yeah, but you're my mom and my dad. Where's this deadbeat dad of his anyway?
I wondered. I wondered it a little more sensitively, but I did wonder, right? I mean, you don't know the dad didn't pass away, so I'd like you to kindly go. You don't
that,
know.
As it came out of my mouth, this poor family, the dad passed away of a horrible disease, and they're left fatherless.
Right, and you're here calling somebody a deadbeat. We don't know, but
no.
Certainly the dad's not in the picture. But I did wonder that, right? Like, if he'd passed away or if he just had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. So mom dresses up. Like the goatee, baseball hat, you know, so dresses like a slob because that's what men do.
Yeah, wears basketball shorts, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
Because if I were going to my kid's school, I'm not being critical. I think this is a great story, but I was like, come on, dad would wear a pair of pants maybe.
Dad's going to wear the clothes that he's going to work in because afterwards he heads out to work because
yeah.
I've been to several of these. Because I've
so in your case, it's your pajamas because now you
right.
work at home.
Exactly. I show up in just a long t-shirt.
With a little belt.
Yeah. So, the kids loved it. Everybody loved it. So the original post has been shared more than 20,000 times on social media and 34,000 reactions. My fear is that when I first read it, I thought, oh, no, it's going to go bad. The school's going to be like, oh, no, you don't.
Yeah,
this is dad's only.
This is dad's, right?
Yeah. No, but it's fine. They let her in. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe they thought she was transgendered or something. They didn't
right.
want to push any buttons.
Right.
But, no, it went over good.
You know, and it's interesting, as I sort of read it, too, like, that we still do those kind of things, right? And I guess, like, part of me is like, man, yeah, the times when I went out on, like, dates with my mom, right? Or when there was, you know, functions at school where it's like, hey, there's one and not the other. Like, those are kind of unique times, but it seems like nowadays with how, you know, unconventional families are, right, where it can be two moms, or it can be two dads, or it can be a mom and no dad, a dad and no mom, you know,
yeah.
You've got a mom and a dad and a stepmom and a stepdad, right? Like, it seems like where we're like, we're going to make this a gender-specific or you know, specific role, this, and the kid, like, you're just begging for people to feel alienated
yeah.
or alone. And then the other part of me is being like, am I to be into PC? Why can't it just be dads and donuts and we'll catch the moms on something else?
They got moms and muffins. They do also.
Oh, really?
Yeah. True story.
Really?
Yeah. No, I've done dads and donuts for probably 7 times.
Really?
Because I've gone with other people that didn't have a dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good of you to do.
Yeah. Kids good. Like me.
Yeah, kids like me. moms and muffins. No, we never did anything like this, though.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we didn't, but it's been around for a while.
Yeah, so that's a pretty interesting story. Hang on to the top page of that. I want to try and reach out to Whitney and see if I can talk to her for a minute here in the Cultural Hall. How are we doing on time? Maybe a couple more stories. This is kind of an interesting story. Are you familiar with the Black 14?
No.
You ever heard about it?
Uh-uh.
Even in reference at all?
Black 14, no.
Almost a half of a century later, it sparked a national controversy. Racial policies of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the BYU football team are the center of a documentary on the CBS Sports Network. So this is coming up this Saturday. People can check it out. A protest by members of the Wyoming football team against BYU and the LDS Church is the subject of the Black 14, Wyoming Football 1969. That's what it's called, the Black 14, Wyoming Football 1969. In October 1969, 14 African-American players playing at BYU made national headlines on the eve of the Cowboys football game with BYU. Their coach, Lloyd Eaton, didn't just forbid them from wearing black armbands as a protest, he kicked them off the team. It became a flashpoint in college civil rights. Protests in Wyoming and BYU both became the focus of demonstrations and boycotts. It exploded onto the national scene, said Emily Dutch, CBS Sports Vice President of Features and Original Programming. All three broadcast networks had reporters and camera crews there. And I was kind of surprised that we had not come across it before. Cowboys and Cougar fans may recall it, although both groups have reason to forget what is a dark mark on both programs. But even with those that are familiar with what happened may not be aware that it wasn't all about LDS policy that excluded African Americans from the priesthood and temple endowments. In addition to anger at the racist policies of the Mormon Church, many Wyoming players felt a simmering sense of injustice that lingered from the BYU game at Provo the previous season. Members of the Black 14 said BYU players hit them late, used racial epithets, and refused to shake hands after the Cowboys won on a late field goal, and that someone turned the sprinklers on as they were leaving the field. "We weren't fighting religion," says Tony McGee, one of the Black 14. "We weren't protesting a people. We were protesting the attitude, what was happening to us on the field." The Black 14 is about Wyoming. No one from BYU and the LDS Church is interviewed about church policies. There's a postscript that the LDS Church changed its policy in 1978. No one offers a defense to the charges leveled against BYU players. This is really the story of the Black 14. We did reach out to people at BYU, and it became evident that they didn't really want to get into it. One former Cougars player, Dick Legas, or Legas, went on to be a longtime assistant coach, track coach. He appears briefly. "There was an atmosphere of animosity towards us," he says, "but I thought if people just understood, we're just guys, we're just football players, we just want to play in a football game." So that should be a pretty interesting thing. I'm actually going to set the DVR to catch that so I can check that out.
And you know why, I can't often say this, but you know why I hadn't heard about that? It was before I was born.
Yeah. You're right, you can't often say that. How many more do you have?
I got one more. It's short.
All right. So I'll go here. No, I'll end here. Why don't you do your story?
Okay. This one, is about Bill Maher.
Bill Maher?
Bill Maher says he will become, the guy is not Mormon.
No. In fact, if you've ever listened to him, he's very atheist.
He's not very Mormon at all.
He's very
kind of the opposite.
In fact, I would dare say he doesn't care much for the Mormons.
No, he doesn't care much for anybody
or anything.
He says he would become a Mormon for Mitt Romney and give him $1 million.
Yeah.
If he would take over the presidency.
Please, Mitt Romney, I will become a Mormon and give you $1 million.
Yeah.
Get this out of the hands of President Trump.
From an atheist Democrat. So that's basically the story right there, and so I say we do anything we can to make this happen.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, President Romney is my president, right? You've heard me say that a million times before.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
he is my president. So,
that's the story.
Yeah, that's it.
The offer's on the table.
Anybody who can help. I mean, we can get the baptism done. Then we can get $1 million done. It's the getting President Romney into the White House.
Yeah,
that even he can't do.
Yeah.
Shoot. Before marrying Marjorie Hinckley, President Hinckley had some concerns about his financial situation. "We could all take comfort from his wife and his wife's faith to move forward, no matter the circumstance, and to trust the Lord The following is a story from the book Courtships of the Prophets. This came out because, you know, all the stories are geared towards Valentine's Day, but I thought this was a great story, and President Hinckley, one of my favorites. I know you're not supposed to have favorites, and they're all good, and I like them all individually.
We all have favorites.
Gordon and Marjorie began talking of marriage and even set a date. However, shortly before the day of their wedding, Gordon called Marjorie, explained he had some concerns, and suggested that they go to lunch. Over lunch, he expressed his apprehension about his financial situation. He wanted Marjorie to know that he only had $150 to bring to their marriage. Undoubtedly, Marjorie was relieved that money, in this instance, was his main concern. She countered his admission in her customary optimistic style and said, quote, "Oh, that'll work out fine. If you've got $150, we're set." Over the years, Sister Hinckley often shared this memorable lunch exchange that she'd had with her beau. In her unique, quick-witted manner, she would quip, "Well, $150 sounded like a small fortune to me. I had hoped for a husband, and now I was getting $150, too." With his financial concerns laid to rest, Gordon B. Hinckley took Marjorie Pay to the Salt Lake Temple and got married April 29, 1937. They were married for eternity by Elder Stephen L. Richards. While reminiscing of their wedding day, President Hinckley often said, quote, "Marjorie had grown into a wonderful young woman, and I had the good sense to marry her. She was beautiful, and I was bewitched." An interesting thing, too, as we're studying President Hinckley in Priesthood Relief Society this year, she waited for him a long time. He served, right? You hear the story about how they dated before he left, madly in love. He went on a mission in the time during the Depression when a lot of missionaries were being called. Kind of a miracle about his family being able to afford for him to be able to even go. They found some money that his mom had been saving kind of secretly for him to be able to go, and left and served a mission. Wasn't something that he had been planning on necessarily. And his wife, obviously then just his girlfriend, waited for him in the time that he was gone. And I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure it was 3 years back when missionaries served 3 years. It's a long time.
Yeah. What age did they still go out at 19 then?
Yeah. 18 too, I think, sometimes, but still, 3 years is a long time.
Yeah. But in those days, I thought $150, that's not bad. That's probably like 10 grand nowadays.
Yeah. I didn't have 10 grand when I got married the first round.
Yeah.
I don't have 10 grand now, and that's why I'm not married. Oh, God. Happy Valentine's Day.
I remember when I got married ages ago, forever ago. I didn't have it. I'll bet I had a grand, maybe. Like, actually disposable cash.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You've been divorced, you said, 6 years. Was Valentine's Day hard?
Uh-uh.
Not hard anymore?
No.
Was it a big deal to you when you were married?
Never has been. Uh-uh.
Big deal to your ex-wife?
I don't know.
Like, no, was she insistent, like, when you guys were married, was she like, oh, we better do something and it better be nice? And
I don't really remember. It seemed like we would do something, a small gift or something, but it wasn't a big deal. I don't know. Maybe that's what drove us apart. Mm. Maybe I didn't know that she was secretly harboring anger over this issue.
Yeah. But now being single, it isn't hard for you? Because it's not. So I haven't been single very long, so let me not paint the picture. I've been dating someone that's not really working out that well right now. I have every faith that it could. I don't know that it will work out again, but that it could. But there was an element of Valentine's Day that, like, it's not bitter. It's not, maybe it's envy. I don't know. There was an interesting thing because last night I was at the theater, right? We do two shows on Valentine's night. Didn't get an opportunity to do anything else because I'm the guy who has to play the show. So it's couples the whole night. It's, you know, people out on Valentine's dates.
Cute.
And there was two parts of it. One, I guess, is probably the freshness of things not really going that well with the girl that I've been seeing. That's certainly part of it. But the other part of it is just this what's the word I'm looking for? Like almost this sort of self-loathing a little bit where it's like all these people are doing this. Now, let me stop right now. I know that the reality is not everyone that there was is blissfully happy. That just because they're out on a date doesn't mean everything is working out, that they're being fulfilled and all that. Because I, for 5 years, went out on dates and wasn't blissfully happy and, you know, on Valentine's Day, right? Yeah. But, you know, as I looked out, there was a certain part of me that was like, you know, is there something that I've done wrong or don't do right? Or is it a path, because I am how I am, that I will continue to not, you know, like I'll have a relationship again, right? And then I won't have a relationship again. And then I'll have one again and I won't have one again, right? But like my, you know, my grandparents were married 65 years, both sides. You know, is there something about me or something about the way that I am, right? But I really genuinely feel like that where it's like, yeah, I'll turn and burn a relationship and it'll be great for a time and then it'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Hmm. Or is it our generation, so to speak, that is not as tough, that we're more selfish and there's more things in the world, on the planet going on?
Yeah, I just wonder what it is, or if it maybe is just exclusively me. It's interesting. That's it. Little deep thought for the end of this thing. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope if you're sick or afflicted, as I was last week, that you can get well and listen next week.
Yeah, you were. You were supposed to be here last week.
Yeah.
We hope that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. And in the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row.
Of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show. Ow!